welcome to
Hello.
The show.
Hello. Episode 793, Brain Candy Podcast.
Yes. We were just having a lovely conversation about how I'm getting more and more bitter as how in menopause I just have the same, like, fuck it attitude that most 60-year-old women have. I just got it 20 years early.
My prediction, though, is that it's not, a permanent condition. It's just because you're dealing with a lot right now.
Yeah, maybe.
I do. I don't think, like, it's sudden onset menopause or anything.
Sudden onset menopause. Yeah, that's like, yeah. And I swear, it's like I've been talking about menopause a lot, and my algorithm or my phone thinks I'm an old woman now and is, like, giving me ads for other, like, old people things.
Like what? Like, do you remember any?
Like AARP.
Is it like clothes?
Like, it's like, yeah.
Hey,
it's like,
you should sign up for that.
I should, because it's available for every age, and didn't you say it's a great deal?
It is. You get so many discounts.
Yeah. That's how I'm really going to embrace it. Lean into my old lady ways.
Okay, but you know how, like, you just said, like, you're talking about menopause and stuff? Okay. You know how we all think our phones can hear us?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And they're listening and all that. And yeah. They would argue, the tech people would argue, no, it's like based on what you search. So maybe like your hysterectomy stuff, of course, is going to.
I probably did. And I definitely searched like exercises post-menopause, like, you know, what, because everything's different.
Yeah, that's, I never thought about that. But like,
yeah.
Do we think they're listening though for real? Because.
Yeah.
I kind of do too.
I do too. And I mean, it's like, well, I know that they are because I've had to manually select, like, turn off microphone on things. And I've no, like, things will change. Like, the what is suggested to me will change when I turn off all of those things.
Yeah. They're asking us to suspend what we have experienced. We've all had that thing where it's like, why is it suggesting this thing I've only, like, thought about?
Right. Right.
And
it's so,
they're like, what? No.
What? Weird. But then at the same time, there are, you know, those people who are like, oh, yeah. What was the one that we talked about this on the podcast a long time ago, that Apple, like Siri, was listening or turning on to the sound of a zipper unzipping. And that people were questioning confidentiality in doctor's offices because it was recording, like, picking up voice memos from people, you know, after they had taken their pants off. And like, for real.
That is so weird.
It is weird. And that was one of the sounds that somebody, like, who used to work for Apple or something in, like, developing that technology said that was one of the things that tuned them in because there was something
about.
We're on
to you.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get up pretty early in the morning to pull one over on us.
Right. Unless I'm tired.
I'm gonna keep
in which
using
case,
your product. Though. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I'm pretty easy
nothing
to pull
I can
one over.
Do about it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So we're being surveilled. Nothing more about that.
Yeah. Well, this is actually a nice segue that you gave me because one of the things I wanted to talk about was a case that was just filed against the Match Group. And the Match Group is the parent company or like the umbrella company for a lot of dating apps. Hinge, mm-hmm. Tinder. The other one is The League. They own, owner of Tinder, Hinge, and The League. And there was
What's
a class
the
action.
League?
The League is a dating app where you have, it's a pay to play situation where you have to pay a shit ton of money a month. It's something insane too. It's like 150, it's a lot of money. Way more, like I wouldn't buy a gym membership for that shit. And that's like an actual location I can go to and stuff mm-hmm. I can use. And it's supposed to be like, we're matching you with the elite, you know, like you basically you pay to get access to other people who are willing to pay,
I'll
know.
Tell you what's free is going to the Four Seasons bar.
Amen, sister.
Sitting, just a tip for you if you want to save your money.
That was
but okay,
one, some of the best advice I got from my mom during my younger single days, where she said, you want to meet somebody? Here's what you do. You go when there's a convention in town, or you go when there's like something going on and you go at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock to the lobby bar at any of the nice hotels in that business district, and you will leave there with the date.
Okay.
Or at least Sally get a few Rice. Cocktails bought for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Minimum, you're not going to spend any money.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So.
Okay.
I definitely did this. Living in Long Beach, there were always conventions going on. I would just walk myself down to the convention center, hang out. And
right. Good times.
Get some drinks. Yeah.
Cheaper than the league is what I'm saying.
Way cheaper than the league, for goodness sakes. So this class action lawsuit was filed, and I love that they did this. They filed it on Valentine's Day. Which I just like that. I like that you're going to do cheeky. So six dating app users accused Match.com of having a predatory business model and deliberately, quote, employing psychologically manipulative features to ensure that they remain on the app and perpetually as paid subscribers. And the lawsuit argues that Match's app violates customer protection laws. That they are intentionally designing the platforms with addictive game-like design features, which lock users into a perpetual pay-to-play loop that prioritizes corporate profits over its marketing promises and customers' relationship goals.
I don't understand how that could be something that you could sue for, because it's an optional app. You don't have to use it.
Right. Well, that's what people are saying, is that there are people who are you know, coming out against it. Even this relationship coach, this woman who was interviewed by the Washington Post, she said the lawsuit is a bit absurd. She said responsibility lies in the hands of the users, not with the apps or the developers themselves. But at the same time, these apps are free to download, but then they offer these like premium features that unlock access to the actual users of the app. It's almost like they're filtering everything.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I am so accustomed to this because that's pretty much the app world's business models, like bait and switch kind of thing.
100%.
I didn't know that was like illegal or could be.
They're arguing that the premium features are marketed as bringing people closer to love, and that in reality, what the business is doing or what the companies are doing are making users drawn into this compulsive usage that doesn't in reality help them meet their relationship goals. So the problem is with what they're promising to do and how their actions are in direct conflict with that. How they claim that they say the person from Match said the lawsuit was ridiculous and that it's not based on advertising or engagement metrics and that they actively strive to get people on dates every day and off our apps. And I don't believe that for a fucking second. Oh, really? Uh-uh. Oh, you are designed to get people off of here? I don't think so.
Yeah, right. And so there is no incentive for that.
None whatsoever. And the people who are involved in the case are talking about how the signs or the symptoms of addiction are present with the use of these dating apps and how they're seeing similar habits to addictive behavior when they analyze people's interactions and usage of the dating apps, how it'll be the very first thing they look at in the morning. A large percentage of users will look at it right before they go to bed. So it's infiltrating like so many different parts of your daily routine. And they've even seen, symptoms of withdrawal when you stop. Like if you stop using a dating app, there's a marked drop in satisfaction and in like a person will usually, it'll take a little while before they feel like, oh, that was a good idea. There's this feeling of like, Loss. Oh no, I need it. Like that is what it's withdrawal. Your body is going through withdrawals from being addicted to this thing and needing it regularly.
Whenever you've used them in the years past, Was there any feature at that time that you felt like, oh, this is good? Like, you know, that gambling type of, or the gamification feeling. Did you get that?
Yeah. I think I did, from even from the feeling that you get when you match with somebody. Mm-hmm. That I matched with them, they matched with me.
You won.
Yeah, you won. And mm-hmm. then I'm sure there are other things that they add in there that change how you interact with it based on...
There's probably more now, too.
Yeah, and the thing that's really, I don't know, kind of freaky about it all is that there are so many hidden algorithms. There are ways that the app is filtering who you are seeing, who they're putting in front of you. And it doesn't feel like something that's based on like, oh, we just want you to find love. It's more like right. we want you to stay active on this app, because you can't be, I don't know, beholden to the shareholders and like, you don't need to like make a bunch of money off of this. And at the same time, be giving your users
trying to get people
want.
To like, match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those two things are incongruent.
They totally are. It's almost uh-huh. like the pharmaceutical company where it's like, how can you at the same time be trying to earn a profit and then trying to cure diseases? Like, you almost are in the business of keeping people sick, in the same way Match seems like they're in the business of keeping people single, because mm-hmm. that's it. Let's make it a game. Let's make it fun. Let's make it something that people get addicted to, something that's like gambling. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that this case will be dropped and will be overturned and nothing will come from it, because when you have relationship experts and psychologists saying like it's in the hand of the users, and when they put all of this in their user agreement, and it feels right. like we are agreeing to go into the casinos when we sign up, and we can't be like mad that
when the
we
house wins.
Caught up. Right. mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. We cannot be mad yeah. when the house wins, when we walked into the casino. I go back and forth on it. I go like, you know, with the casino, it's very easy and obvious that you are in a casino and you understand what they're doing there and you know what the risks that's involved. You understand that the house is probably going to win. But I feel like people aren't as convinced with dating apps, especially when I'd say, I don't know, 9 out of 10 of the relationships you meet out there in the world, you ask, how'd you guys meet? And people go, ha ha, the old fashioned way, online, you know? And it feels like if you see almost the success of it, it's almost like if we went out there and asked everybody, how'd you get their money? And they're like, oh, from gambling. It'd be hard to not right. go to the casinos.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I don't know what'll come from it, but I do know that it's something to keep an eye on and something that I'm interested in following.
One love that is guaranteed is honey love, because 100%
guaranteed.
Those babies are going to make you happy.
They're there to solve your problems and yeah. nothing else.
Yes, I'm so impressed. I did get that. Now I can't remember the name of it, but the tank top, the V-neck.
Yeah.
And it is so nice and flattering, high quality, supportive. It's just like the leggings, the same deal
yes.
where you're just like, I just enjoy wearing this item.
I will say, as somebody who has sensitive areas after my surgery and has had a hard time finding clothes, a good pair of leggings, those leggings do not squeeze my waist in any uncomfortable way, but still stay up and still give me like that nice support that you need. Oh, really, really comfortable and lovely, especially
Man, I
right
bet
now.
You appreciate them even more. If
yeah,
you
that nice
are in
panel
the market,
in the front. Woo, I love it.
Yeah, it's so supportive. Their shapewear is great. And really high quality. You will love it. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/braincandy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/braincandy. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honey Love, because you deserve it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, what other fun stuff? I saw this and wanted to have a discussion on this. So there's a new, I don't know, like therapy phrase. You know how this happens where somebody will take a like psychological concept, even one from a long time ago, and it then like, I don't know, grows legs and roots or whatever and gets traction on TikTok. And then next thing you know, everybody's using it, usually incorrectly. And so there's a new term that's floating around called Rebecca syndrome. Have you heard of this or do you know what this is?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I hadn't heard of it either. And then that is especially alarming to me when I am in the field of psychology and a working, practicing therapist. And I'm like, what the fuck is that word that I don't even know? So Rebecca syndrome was coined by Dr. Darian Leder, who is a psychologist and founding member of the Center for Freudian Analysis Research Study in the United Kingdom. This was coined a long time ago, too. And it is used to describe what they call a severe form of pathological jealousy that a person experiences towards their partner's former lover. So this is like what it's also been called, like a more therapeutic term and modern term for it would be called retroactive jealousy, where you're jealous of something that happened before you were even in the picture.
Yeah. Okay.
And the term, the Rebecca syndrome, where that name even came from, was inspiration from this novel Rebecca that was written, it doesn't say what year, but I want to say in the early 1900s, like 1930 something, that delves into the story of a woman who marries a widowed man and then becomes consumed by the memories of his first wife.
Mm.
So it's something that we all know is real,
sure,
and is something that so many of us have experienced. And I'm not here to debate people experiencing it. I am here to get angry that we name these things after women. And then,
oh, wow,
like, that's the part that stood out to me of, like, what it does to a society, what it does to our, I don't know, interpretation of these things. Yes. Mm-hmm. When you have a gendered name for this not even actual psychological condition, but something that's more of like a cultural reference in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I hate everything about it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And then I started thinking,
I know plenty of men who have Rebecca syndrome.
Exactly. And then it feels like when somebody said, oh, you just have Rebecca syndrome, it almost like flattens it and it devalues or it doesn't take into consideration all of the layers and all of the past traumas or the experiences that the person may have that can bring them to having these feelings of retroactive jealousy. Mm. Somebody just wants to point the finger and being like, oh, you're just being a Rebecca.
You're a stereotype or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And it made me like, oh, I don't feel good about this.
What is the context with which they're discussing it? Are they, why is it even being talked about?
Where I think this is happening on TikTok. Yeah, I think people are saying like, yeah, I've just been experiencing serious Rebecca syndrome in my relationship where I feel like, well,
oh,
like,
God.
These are just, and then I think when you put a label on something like that, there's the idea that we can just get rid of it that fast. When you simplify something as, oh, we're just calling this layered jealousy that probably has to do with your experience of abandonment as a child or, you know,
feelings of inadequacy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we just say, oh, that's Rebecca syndrome. It almost makes the person who's experiencing that or I don't know, the Rebecca, if you will, think that it's just an easy it is to fix as it is to say and label.
Have you ever had Rebecca syndrome though?
So much. Like, I can't, and this, it's so annoying too, where I can't, I'll think, What I tend to do instead of the retroactive jealousy, I don't know, maybe this is a form of Rebecca syndrome, I guess, where I think, oh, you were with that person who did this and this and this to you for that long, and you want to come down on me? It's almost like I compare myself in like a positive way to exes. I'm like, you're permissive of that, but you're going to get mad at me for how I load the dishwasher? I don't know if it's almost like I'm jealous of the
low standards.
Yes.
Right. What about her?
But I'm just making up too. I don't even know the ins and outs of what it was. And who knows? Maybe they were great at loading the dishwasher and I'm shitty at it. I know that.
Yeah, but you're thinking of like, he was with that bozo and all I do wrong is don't put the dishes in right and you're unsatisfied. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like a different, I don't know if it's jealousy as much as it is like narcissism or something.
I like that. You have a healthy sense of self-worth. And you're no. Yeah. Have a look at your ex. She's a complete dud.
Yeah. And then it made me think, how many other terms are there that are negative things that have male names? And the only one I could come up with was Napoleon complex. Or like Oedipus complex, but that still in a weird way is like the woman's at fault in some.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Achilles heel, is that a boy?
Okay, okay, yeah. That's a good example.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and so it's more like a phrase of like, you can say like, oh, you know, it's my Achilles heel that's really getting in the way of this relationship.
This feels very, like, I thought you were going to say the origin was like biblical or something. You know,
right. Like, it sounds like it should be, but it's almost like gaslighting, how like that gaslighting term was from a play and then we kind of took it and this was the same sort of thing. It was like a,
you feel like everyone's like, okay, Rebecca.
Yeah. That's what, and it's like very, dismissive.
Yeah.
I think of what that really is. And if somebody were coming in to see me, you know, a couple who was dealing with this, it would take a lot of sessions to talk about that, to work through that, to explore that. And sometimes these therapeutic terms, they land on TikTok and then are, flattened is really like the, just like simplified, or we think that it's just, we're like over-labeling things that, with like a one sentence definition, when really you can write a whole entire book on retroactive jealousy and how it appears in relationships and how that will play out.
I was just reading an article. I think it may have been the New York Times, but it was about, the flattening and extinction of subcultures, especially for teens. So like apparently teens refer to this idea of preppy, but it's not the preppy that we would know. It's like this other thing where it's almost like girly and fun or whatever. It's like girl, feminine type of stuff that whatever they have it redefined the word preppy, but they were using that as an inroad to talk about how teens really don't have the rich cultural experiences that you had before the digital culture, because now everything is just sort of reduced to like a Pinterest board of like items.
Yes.
And the writer was making this clever argument of saying that the parental problems of the 80s and 90s, like worrying that your kid was going to sneak out and go to a rave or something like that, are actually what today's kids need, that in real life community of like experience.
Wow, that's so true.
Yeah, and what you're and describing reminded me of
a range
that.
Of options, in a way. You know, like I can remember when I went to the Amalfi Coast, and I was thinking, what does somebody wear when they go to the Amalfi Coast? So then I like looked on Pinterest and I saw all the things, and when I say every fucking woman in the whole Amalfi Coast was on the same Pinterest board, wearing the same outfit, had the same bag. It was like this round, like straw bag. I had one. Everybody bought one. It was like, oh, this is, and what it does is it creates this like Pinterest version of real life, when really going to those places, like some of the most fun things about going to Europe is seeing styles that you don't see in the United States. And you're like, oh my God, that's so unique and different. I'm going to get that and I'm going to take it home and I don't even care if nobody has it. I'm going to wear it and it's going to be so fun. And it feels like that is dying in a way that now.
Right. It's a like monolith. Everything's the same.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everything is the same.
And I really do try to remind myself of that too, because of the Instagram face idea. Everyone's getting fillers, Botox, plastic surgery, whatever. And then everyone looks alike. And when I watch a lot of the clips, I was watching a documentary about Natalie Wood, the actress from back in the day. And I was noticing her face and how, you know, it was aging in a normal way. Yes. And I was so refreshed by it. It wasn't quote unquote perfect, but it was like interesting and beautiful and different. And I was like, everyone looks the same and I'm part of it. I don't want to be.
It really is like that. You know, I've been watching a lot of British shows lately. There's like a British spy show that I've been watching. And I was just talking to Eli about how I love British TV because they cast people who actually look like people.
Like The Office. Now,
And now if you were to cast that, the same show with an American cast, those women would look very different. And it's, it feels.
There's a real lack of richness.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say disingenuous. Like it's a lack of richness because what you're seeing is not an accurate reflection of people. It's manufactured.
That's why
people
I love Cheers. They look like real people. They need more black people, but they at least look like real white people.
Yes.
And it's at least they did cast the American Office in an authentic way.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, and I have to really be intentional about avoiding becoming that because you look at people, that's beautiful. And then you think, I want to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And then, everybody ends up looking like the same wax, beautiful person.
Yeah. I saw this picture that was floating around. We really do. I saw this picture that was floating around of a before and after of a guy who had got a nose job. And the comment underneath said, damn, you just went from Greek god to guy who's going to convince me to listen to his podcast. And he went from like having this amazing, like very stereotypical kind of like Greek feature, like more pronounced nose, to this very small upturned nose. And I'm sure for him, it was like, this is going to help me with my confidence. This feels good, whatever. But as a, you know, just seeing that and seeing people's comments, like, wow, we really are like covering up a lot of what makes us unique and individual. Mm-hmm. And
I think it's a loss. I do.
I'll
tell you
too.
What is a win though, Sarah. And that is anytime that I whip up my AG1 in the morning.
Amen, sister. It's been keeping me alive, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if I can make claim, but.
Right. Is that approved? No, because I know what you mean, though, when like if things get hectic and life gets lifey, then sometimes all that's keeping me sane and healthy is that darn AG1.
It's totally true. And then I think, you know what? I don't have the energy to like eat anything other than like boxed macaroni and cheese, but I can feel okay about doing that because I got the vitamins and minerals and nutrients that I need in the morning. I started my day off right.
Yeah. If you want to get into a little habit, and I am a very big believer in like starting with small things like flossing or doing a green drink like this. And then it snowballs. So this could be your very first thing where you're like, okay, I could do that. then give it a whirl. If there's one product we had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. That's why we've partnered with them for so long. If you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/braincandy. That's drinkag1.com/braincandy. Check it out.
Yeah, man. Okay, yeah. What do I want to talk about next? I have so many fun things. This feels like something that we have to mention on the podcast. We've been doing everybody a disservice. Did you hear that an acclaimed winery lost over 15,000 gallons of wine? Did you not see this video?
No.
Holy shit, Susie. Okay, so the value of this wine, $1.2 million.
Oh, man.
This guy comes in. It was a Spanish winery called Cepa 21. And the wine goes for like $100 a bottle. It's very expensive wine. So just a few nights ago, they caught this on their security footage. Somebody breaks into the winery and drains all of the huge, gigantic barrels. Like, just opens the barrel. Wine is gushing out. They... spilled 60,000 liters of wine. That's so
Why?
Much fucking wine.
What is the motive?
So it seems like this was a disgruntled employee or somebody who had a personal vendetta, or like it was definitely personal. And they suspect that the person who did it had some knowledge of the grounds, because the ways that these barrels open aren't so easy. Like, it's not obvious, I guess. You have to like push something, pull something. I don't know. But this person went in and in a few swift moves had the whole thing drained. It almost feels like they were, I don't know, maybe like a worker who was fired or something else happened where somebody was very upset.
Okay, let's say you're upset. Wouldn't you go in there with a bucket and just take it home?
Right. What a waste.
Why are you going to spill it everywhere?
Yeah. I could see that if I were, say, like one of the farmers growing the grapes and they were not taking care of like the rights of the workers, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then this winery is making a bunch of money and maybe you're not getting like that. It'd be like, oh yeah, fuck your wine. And I'm wasting it all.
That's a lot of really nice beverage, though.
I know. Susie's like, I am not okay with this. This is where I draw the line. Fuck those match people.
I can't believe they don't know who did it. Where are the cameras?
Well, there are cameras. There's footage of it all. That's why I said, did you see the video? Like, because, you know, he came in
why can't they see him?
Hoodie and with his appearance disguised. And it was like,
yeah, well, why don't they know who did it?
I don't know.
He wore a mask.
Yeah, it
or
seems
something?
Like with $2.7 million lost, that there would be some big investigation on this. Like, you'd be like fingerprinting those.
Yeah, this is serious. People wake up.
So this happened maybe a week or two ago, and I looked to see if there was an update. And as of yesterday, there wasn't any update on the story. It still is.
Sarah and I are
going to
be like True Detective,
right?
Wine edition. We're going to go
like
to
right
work.
After we did an episode, we're like, those people who think that they're going to solve crimes online. I mean, they really need to get a life.
Right.
Next thing you know, Susie and I are like, we know who did it. And if you'd like to pay us in wine, we will not say no.
That's so true. I find that with a lot of my things that I get worked up about, the moment I consider like a time when I would feel differently, I'm like, oh, whoops.
Yeah,
I sure was
right.
indignant for no reason.
Like, okay. Yeah.
That's why people
me.
Should never be offended by my stuff, because I could be like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm an idiot.
That same. Like, I'm like, I'm actually going to change my mind tomorrow. Trust me. Like, we were, you know, in talking about the animal stuff, we were saying people were all worked up about how we were saying animals, you know, are not members of your family, even though we, you know what we mean by that.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart of The Daily Show just posted a video because his dog passed away like last night. And then he did the show the next day, which, you know, speaks to your point of if you lose a dog, are you going to come to the show the next day? And so he did the show, and then he did a whole segment on saying goodbye, like the dog that he loved, and how the dog was one of the, you know, original dogs on The Daily Show that hung out with everybody. And it was cute. Like, they had done
it's very cute.
It was so cute. His daughters had, like, raised money for an animal shelter. And then when they were leaving the animal shelter, they, like, put the dog on Jon Stewart's lap. And the dog had been hit by a car and only had three legs. And then, of course, Jon Stewart falls in love with the dog. And is like, well, we have to bring him home. And then was with their family for years. And he's like, there are good dogs and then there are like best dogs, and he's like bawling and crying talking about it. I was like, oh, I have to send this to Susie because like I get it.
And somebody said, well, Sarah acknowledged how difficult it can be, of course, you know, to lose a pet and how sad you feel. I mean, were crying about Bo and stuff. But then when I was like, what do you think about bereavement leave where an employee takes time off to grieve their pet? And you're like, come on now. And I happen to agree with you, but the person was saying like, how can you acknowledge how painful it is, but then expect everyone to get back to work? But that's like my whole deal. This is when I become very conservative, when I'm just like, I know you're sad, but you could, you can work.
And I would argue that our ability to manage difficult emotions is what we as people in the modern day struggle with the most. That we have this feeling that this is going to be over. Like, I think we're sold this or taught that we should only be experiencing joyful, happy feelings. Everything is like, this will make you feel better. Everything's about feeling good, 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 good. That sends this message that we shouldn't ever feel like something is wrong if I'm feeling sad or uncomfortable or lonely.
Yeah, like I can't
or
go on.
That I can't go on. And the most helpful thing that we can do for ourselves to get through those difficult feelings is go on. Keep calm and carry on, like they say, you know, is to get through that, because that tells the brain this, even though this is hard, you can do this and you're still surviving. And that
that's why
is
people
such
shouldn't
a fucking
be
valuable message.
Yeah, I just feel like that's why nobody should be upset, because what I'm saying is I believe in you.
Yes.
You are better than that. You got this. You're strong. You've been through lots of stuff in your life. My message is one of encouragement to say, like, you can do it. You got this.
You can do it. You can absolutely.
Why don't people like to hear that?
Because I feel like people are hearing in that, you know, it's almost like they're reading between the lines maybe, or taking, pulling out their own meaning from that, where they hear, don't feel sad, or don't, or you shouldn't be grieving, or you shouldn't
you're
feel
too
that
upset.
Where two things can be true. I can
That's
be so devastated, but I also recognize that the best thing for me to do is just keep going. And
you got this.
You got, and yeah, you got this. And then give yourself that time to, you know, of course, grieve and feel it.
Yeah. At night later.
Yeah. But I think when we stop doing the things that support us feeling a value or accomplished, or like, you know, that feeling like when you get done with the day of work and you're like, oh, okay, I feel good. I accomplished a lot. Like, that feeling is what helps us get through those tough times. That says we could do it. That feeling of, okay, I had a hard day at work, but whoo, does it feel good to get home? Like, that is the same muscle, in a way, emotional strength that you need to get through. Oh, I just lost this dog that's a member of my family.
But when
I
was reading their messages, like their counterpoints, then I was thinking about how much I hate people. And I was like, you know what? Maybe they're right. Like, maybe we should have
dogs
only
don't
pet
email
bereavement.
Me ever.
Yeah, we should only have pet bereavement leave, because people, it's like, okay, easy come, easy go, because you know people can be really garbage.
100%. But okay, if any animal were the people who were trolling online, what animal would it be? What dog? What is the breed of dog that would be the one who is trolling everyone?
Okay, well, I think we both, you have an answer, right?
I think so. I have two. Is it French bulldog?
No.
thought you were going to say that.
That is a great answer. I was going to say Chihuahua.
Oh, a Chihuahua would be like that. And I kind of feel like a standard poodle would be like, well, actually, like, shut the fuck up, standard poodle.
I love standard poodles, but that's because I am one.
I could totally see you having a standard poodle, too.
I tried to convince them.
Oh, my God. Can you get one?
They won't take the bait. It would be hilarious. Can you imagine the photos?
It would be so great. Susie gets the most high-maintenance dog who's so smart and so, like...
like, annoying, though. And like,
yeah, annoyingly smart. Yeah. That's exactly what poodles are like. That's very funny.
Oh, that's a French bulldog, though, is a great answer because they would troll for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chihuahuas, too.
If you have a better answer, we would love to hear it. I was
accepting.
I was the other day driving with Eli in the car, and I had my hair down and a center part, and it's getting real curly and frizzy. And I was like, I look like a Irish setter. And Eli's like, let me see. And I pulled it up. He's like, oh my God, now I can see nothing else.
That's terrible. You invite this.
I totally did. And then the next time I was like, Eli, what is your favorite thing about me? He's like, well, that you look like an Irish setter.
Yeah,
I was like, that is not the answer I was looking for. Like, we pulled up, I had like the exact same hair as this dog. It looked like spitting image. So,
You're into people that look like dogs or whatever else you're into, Dipsy has you covered because they have stories for every sort of
dog lovers and cat lovers alike, I'm sure.
Yeah, anything that you're into. They have sexy stories that will get your motor running, get you wound up, or handle everything on your own, whatever.
Yes.
I don't know what your life looks like. Maybe you want just an immersive soundscape or a wellness story or a sleep story. They have everything. You take this quiz, and then somehow this quiz tells them what your fantasies are.
Yes.
Maybe you like vampires. Maybe you like ski instructors like Sarah.
Yes. Yes.
Whatever it is, they have it, and you should listen because you will not regret it. For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/braincandy. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/braincandy. dipsystories.com/braincandy.
Yes.
Spicy.
It has been harder. I don't know if it's the menopause or what, but it's been hard for me to have those feelings of excitement, you know? And so Dipsy stories are a great way to get my mind there when it feels like my body isn't there yet. It's like the mind has to come first and then my body will follow. It can't be the other way around. So if you're somebody who has a hard time getting those feelings and being in that place, I could not recommend Dipsy stories enough.
That's a great tip and so true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember when you had that dog named Waffles?
I sure do.
Changing the subject.
R.I.P. Waffles. Yeah.
R.I.P. Waffles. Yeah. What breed was that dog?
A Chiweenie. It was a Chihuahua dog and wiener dog, like dachshund mix. But it was a longer-haired one.
I'm glad I asked.
It was so cute.
I truly couldn't have picked a funnier breed.
And it was like a mix of a few other things too. This was a dog I got from the shelter, so it was like a nice combo of a whole bunch of different dogs that just looked like a little Chihuahua wiener dog.
But is that an actual breed?
Chiweenie sure is.
No.
Yes, Chihuahua and wiener dog. What the hell else are you gonna call it?
I just can't believe there are enough of them that they like had an assign, like they decided here's what we're going to call them.
Well, I think, you know, when you're, it's like little dog and little dog, easier to imagine those two getting together than it is a Chihuahua and a Great Dane. That would be a harder sell.
That's so true. Why do you think, though, this isn't more popular given that I've never heard of it?
It is popular in California, so I think maybe there are more Chihuahuas maybe, and like that was like a big thing in Southern California. There was just like it felt like a lot of Chihuahuas around.
Does it look like a Chiweenie? Like where it's like, oh, that's definitely a wiener dog and a Chihuahua.
Yes, definitely. It's like short legs, face but of a like Chihuahua face.
Long body. You have got to be kidding me.
Adorable.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How old was Waffles when she passed? He passed.
Only about a year and a half. Yeah.
And the coyote got him?
No, this one was running on the wood floor, slipped or something, or like I noticed that his back legs were like his back leg was giving him trouble. And so I took him to the vet and said, you know, something's wrong. Can we do an X-ray? And so they said that in order to X-ray the dog, they had to not put the dog under, but sedate the dog. And so when they did, this is what the vet said, that the medication that they gave the dog to sedate him lowered the dog's threshold for seizures, and it triggered some seizure response, and the dog did not stop having seizures after it had that procedure done. And
did you say it did not quit having seizures?
Yeah. It was like it started just like one a day, two a day, and then at the end of it, it was like 12 seizures a day. And I had the dog was blind, and
oh my gosh,
just like went
all
through.
From
yeah. And there was never a problem until I took the dog to the vet. And the vet claimed that they had to do that because the dog was being like wasn't settled.
This sounds
this
like
dog
malpractice.
Was so gentle and so nice, and so and if I had the resources or the energy at the time, I would have definitely fought harder to be like, you guys are the responsible party in this.
But that
I was
is
like
so sad.
20 years old and, you know.
I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah, it was sad. RIP Waffles, but.
For real?
Yeah.
My gosh.
That was a sad
See,
way to go.
You know
but
what?
The vet,
Hug
the,
your dogs.
The,
you never know.
Yeah, you really don't. But the pound that I adopted or the shelter I adopted him from was so nice. That's where I took him when things were not looking so well because I wasn't going to go back to the vet that did that. So I went back to the shelter and they refunded me all of my money. They gave me like, cause I had just, it was only like a month or two. I had that, like, I didn't have the dog for very long and they felt so bad. They didn't charge me anything for the services. They were like, that they said it could have been an underlying illness that they just didn't identify. And it just took this to kind of trigger it. And yeah,
wow,
it was
that
really
is
sad.
Terrible.
And then I remember when the dog was like, I had to put him down. And then I did that thing that you see people do in movies because the dog's eyes were open. So I did that thing where I thought I was going to like run my hands over the eyes and they were going to close. And I did that and then they popped right back open because that's how rigor mortis works. And I was like, ah!
No.
Yeah, I thought I was like in a movie. I did like the soft brush over it, and then
terms of endearment,
like, bright eyed, like ah. Dog's making fucking eye contact
Jesus.
With me after me doing that. I can't believe I didn't drop him. But yeah,
that is a horror movie.
Totally, totally horrifying.
With those giant dog bug eyes? Absolutely not. Good grief.
So, give me one sec. Sorry, I have to plug, I have
Sarah
to plug
needs
in
to
my
juice
cord.
Up.
Yep, because I didn't realize it wasn't plugged. It's plugged into my laptop or my other thing. Hang on. Don't want it to.
Oh my on. God, that is funny, though.
I feel like I'm racing against the clock when it's like, your computer is going to die if you don't do this so fast. Okay, there we go.
Didn't
well,
the vet...
okay, so yeah,
okay,
that's
wait,
waffles.
Didn't the vet say to you though, like, hey, those eyes are gonna pop back open?
Well, nah, there wasn't a lot of time for conversation. I was just like holding the dog and saying goodbye, and then thought I would do that, and then they saw me do that, and then they saw the dog's eyes pop up, and they probably said something afterwards, like, oh, that happens. It's okay, because they probably saw the look of, like, shock that matched the expression of my dog's face when I did that.
That is awful. My God.
Yes.
Oh, maybe you should take bereavement leave. Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe for that. I probably didn't at that time either. Okay. I have other funny stories for you, or fun stories for you.
Okay.
This is cool. NASA is currently looking for 4 volunteers to
I
be
am,
part
yeah.
have you heard of this
yeah go
yeah,
ahead
of the Mars Habitat.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for 4 volunteers to live in a 3D printed Mars simulation.
Yeah.
For 1 year. And anybody can enter. The only criteria for being part of this, which I feel like a lot of our listeners will qualify for, if you're interested in this, I hope you can still listen to the Brain Candy podcast if you choose to sign up.
I bet you can.
But you have to be a U.S. citizen between the ages of 30 and 55 and speak English and have a master's in a STEM field. You have to have either 1,000 hours of pilot experience piloting an aircraft or 2 years of experience towards a PhD in the STEM field. And you also have to have 2 years of professional experience. And they were very loosey-goosey on the professional experience. I think it's just any professional environment. They want somebody who has had work experience. And your duties would be to live in this habitat, and then you'd be doing remotely operating Mars vehicles and doing like sample collections of stuff on their little fake planet, and then of course just hanging out for 1 year.
What do you think? Is this something you'd be interested in?
Whew.
If you were qualified, like if you had all the criteria.
If I were really interested in a field related, like if I were into geology, like if I were a geologist and I was not in a relationship,
yeah,
I probably would say yeah.
I know, me too.
Because there's also a good chance you're leaving in a relationship with anybody that you spent a year in a fucking hatch with.
Absolutely.
100%, right? You already know their qualifications. You know that they're probably going to be like good under pressure. There's a lot of they've done a good job weeding out the it's probably better than what Match and Tinder are going to provide as far as relationship opportunities
with the
for
league.
You. Yeah, exactly. Probably cheaper too.
The thing
too.
That when I read about it, the thing that I thought, "Oh no, that's not for me," was how, I mean, really it's like the challenge because they say that they will, you know, for the whole year be intentionally making things malfunction.
Yeah.
And fuck up because they need to be able to train for that. I understand the reasoning. It's not just like psychological warfare, but it would feel like that if you're in this damn biosphere thing. And then they're like, whoopsie, it's leaking or whatever.
Yeah. And but that's at least for the greater cause. Like, you can understand, like, oh, there may be problems that come up, but this is because I'm, working on how to colonize Mars. And it feels like, it feels useful and it feels like for the greater good. When they're just like, oh, we've decided to hide the peanut butter to see what the fuck happens in the challenge house, it doesn't feel like that's for the greater good.
Yeah, Sarah, because that's for me what it felt like. Like, why are they doing this to me? Like, it took me back to when I've been on the show and felt like, why are they torturing us?
And I was thinking too, like, that is so funny because I was reading this article through the lens of being in one of those same situations where somebody controls where you eat, what you're going to do, all this stuff. And I thought for a second, I wonder if they all have to decide to go to sleep at the same time for them to turn out the lights, or like somebody's controlling the lights, or is
like,
it
do you have any autonomy
just,
at all?
Right. Or is it just like a Earth day on Mars that's like a little bit longer than a regular day and you're going to have sunrises and sunsets? Like, do they do everything the same? They make the environment. They bring in like that red dirt and they make it look, they put them in a dome that looks like Mars. So they feel like they're on Mars the whole time.
And that's it. That's all that's there.
That's it.
Like, that sounds terrible. There's no trees or anything.
No. Oh my God. What a fucking good point. That is going to be part of the experiment to see like what happens when you don't see plants. Like, they should get one of those like, plastic murals or whatever. They got taped to the wall of like a jungle scene or something nice to like have some. I think that would make me go crazy. Just seeing that desert landscape with nothing. And the room, they're in 1,700 square feet of living space.
That's big.
Yeah, it is bigger than I was like, that's bigger than most apartments I've had. So
wait, say that again.
1,000 square hundred feet of living space.
Oh, I thought you were saying
10,000.
1,000. 100,000.
No, just 1,700. No.
It's like this a studio apartment of correct. Mars
this
sand.
This is a little bit, yeah.
For a
this
year?
This is a two-bedroom apartment with sand. And four people. So close
this
living quarters.
There's going to be a murder-suicide on Mars. That is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, the date to the deadline to apply is April 2nd. So even if you want to do it as an April Fool's joke, you can still do that.
I feel like I clearly do not have the mental stability for something of that.
I think somebody like my brother Jordan would crush it at this.
Yeah.
He would go in there and come out after you and be like, oh, time already? I still have more samples to collect.
Yeah. Like
I could totally
a different
see
kind
him
of personality.
That. Yeah. That's like into like, being focused on their job, into something that's repetitive, into like having a task.
No interior life whatsoever.
Just like focused and also don't mind
robotic.
Like going off the grid for a little while. Yeah, this is where somebody on the spectrum or somebody with like that it could totally thrive. These are the environments where I feel like it's a superpower to
it is a superpower.
Be neurodivergent.
Yeah. I don't have the gift.
I would say me neither, but not in that way. Maybe I would like it a little bit, but I need some change up to my environment, as I've noticed.
Yeah, like you're neurodivergent, but in like almost like hyper the other way.
Right.
Like extreme emotion, extreme romanticism of like trees and nature.
Yes. Extreme.
The opposite of a robot is what Sarah is.
I'm an overfeeler. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you think overfeelers like you would be drawn to the other neurodivergent people who have like a very little emotional life? Ooh. As friends or partners or whatever.
In a way, yes, I do. That goes both ways. There's the sense of peace and a sense of like simplicity when I'm with people who are like that.
Yeah.
But I wonder if I think I would struggle in a relationship with someone who struggled with empathy and emotion because they wouldn't know how to
handle
respond
you.
To mine.
Yeah.
It would feel like, well, that's too much. I need you to stop doing that right now. Cause it would feel
but in
like
a social situation. It's
yes. Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Love
okay.
it. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. This I'm going to be interested to see. Like, will we know who they choose? And
oh, I
will,
hope so. I hope it's something that we can like follow, and they could like I would be a great Instagram account that I would totally be into.
Yeah,
every day I check in.
I hope it turns out better than the biosphere too. Remember that?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. This one they seem like they know what they're doing a little more. And I feel like this might be the second round too. I think they have already done this one time.
Hmm.
Yeah.
In the dome? So, in the miniature dome?
I think they've already done a simulation of life on Mars that people have lived in. I have to double check that, but I feel like I remember from the article somebody talking about.
Like, I'm in my NASA era, so I'm trying to...
Yes.
Like, I really am excited about space and stuff, but sometimes it's like, maybe not Mars yet. Maybe let's...
Maybe not, you're right.
Sort out poverty or something.
Right here. Like, or, you know.
Just, you know, something to think about.
Yeah.
Like, why are we doing that?
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I think it's important to remember, like I was looking at another funny thing that came across my email. It's from science.org. And every year since 2008, they've done a contest called Dance Your PhD, where they have people, like, you basically, like, write a song or do a dance based on what your PhD is on, if it, like, boy, whatever it is. And they get all these crazy entries. And the one that won this year was called Kangaroo Time. And it's this guy who's a researcher of kangaroos in Australia, and he's from Brazil. So his family's like, what the fuck are you doing? I don't even know what you're doing out there. And something about, like, that he wrote this song about kangaroos and their dance moves, and then he collected a bunch of different dancers from different backgrounds and had them just dance and move in a way like kangaroos. And it was really sweet and really cute, and he had a very diverse group doing it, and it was beautiful. And the science community was like, we love this, it's great. That's and so nice. They awarded What's it him called? It's called
Kangaroo Time.
Dance Your PhD, and the song is called Kangaroo Time.
Okay.
And it's really sweet. They have 7 different entries, and all of them were phenomenal. They had one that was a woman who was researching, like, life cycles and early childhood development. And it was, like, a beautiful modern dance with a child that was, like, about the evolution of children. It's gorgeous. It's so fun. But my whole point is I think we forget, or maybe through the show are often reminded, that there are specialists who research every single thing. There's a kangaroo PhD guy who's got his PhD in fucking kangaroos who's writing this song, and he's not, like, the only kangaroo PhD guy, you know? And there's, like, the one who's, like, studying the mantis shrimp, like, way out there. Like, there are such a wide range of very specific pursuits that, you know, I think about career counselors and their job to, you know, maybe help kids, like, find, like, what they're...
Yeah.
They don't even know what's available or what's out there. Yeah. So maybe you're not the person who's going to work in the, Mars recreation biosphere.
Simulation.
But there is somebody who's going to do that and going to love it, because there is such a wide range of things that are available to study and be interested in. And when somebody is really interested, like you were talking about, I think it was last episode, about the guys who discovered the birds they thought to be extinct for so long. And they were, like, so stoked on it. Yeah. Like, when you study that, there's so much to be learned about. And you can really spend a lifetime diving into one teeny, teeny, tiny little subject.
Yeah, God bless the scholars.
God bless the scholars. It really is. Mm-hmm. I just love it. And when they all get excited about little things, like, I just love all that. So if you want to check that out, you can go to science.org, and they have Kangaroo Time. That. And they also have all of the other winners or runners-up listed. And it's totally worth a watch. It's really cool to see people who are in the science field, like marrying the art field, bringing together the art and the science. And
can't believe there were only 7 entries.
I know. That's what I said. I said I couldn't believe that there weren't more. Or maybe there were 7. No, they said they had 24, like a 24 entries, and then 7 made the top list.
Finalists
that were, like,
or something.
Yeah, finalists, mm-hmm. finalists. Yes, 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 yes. So I think there were, like, a couple dozen who entered.
I can't wait to watch. So. That is so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll put it on Instagram, too. If you don't follow us, you should, because why wouldn't you? It's weird.
Right. What are you doing? Come on, follow us. It's great.
What do we have to do on these stories? Almost 800 episodes. Yapping, yapping, yapping.
Yapping, yapping, yapping.
Time, Sarah. You gotta accept it. Okay. You're getting the hook.
Okay.
Do you
want to
do it?
Like,
I'll do it. We can do another one.
Tap dancing me off the.
You know, you can do one more if you want. I just wanted to let you know you've done enough.
Okay. I'll just mention this one just because it's an interesting thing that I just saw.
Okay.
Apparently, in the United Kingdom, there is a no-fault clause to landlords being able to evict somebody. Like, you can evict somebody without giving any reason why. And
where?
Apparently, in the UK, in England, there's been this uproar recently, or people are starting to pay attention to this, because landlords are putting a clause into their lease agreement that says no loud sex noises. Some people are even saying no overnight visitors. And so it seems like the landlords in England are making it almost illegal. Like, you get evicted if you have sex too loudly.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on in the UK?
And this has happened multiple times. And it is because of this no-fault eviction thing that's been tried to be overturned multiple times, but it protects the landlord, and it makes it so that the landlord doesn't need any real reason.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
a
no-fault
policy.
Divorce, where it's like, you don't need a reason to say, I want to get divorced. Like, you don't need a reason to say, I'd like to evict these people. And if you fought against it, you'd have to go to court, and then the judge would have to be the one to say that I don't agree with the landlord's rules. It's a really fucked up system. I don't like it either. And this is funny because I thought you'd be on the side of, yeah, stop making all that sex noise. But
yeah, I am. But also,
you're also
pro-fault in car accidents, divorce, evictions that because that is a tool of prejudice and bigotry. If you just decide to, let's say somebody cooks food from another country that is unusual to us and maybe offensive to our sensibilities, they could get rid of them for that. And that's just their local food.
It is
stuff
really
like
messed
that.
Up. Yeah. So,
but
it's
also,
going to be
why are people banging that loud?
This article said, and there were a couple articles on it, and one of the ones that I read was talking about how this is also a way for, it's almost legal discrimination in a way.
Yeah.
And that the people who are really dealing with the consequences of this or dealing with these wrongfully placed rules, enforced rules, are people of the LGBTQIA+ community. And how
they're banging real loud or something.
Well, they're using that as a way to say, I disagree with these sexual practices. Almost allows landlords to be homophobic. Like one landlord said, there's a queue of men waiting outside the apartment. And the guy was like, I don't have a queue of men I'm sleeping with. Like, this is just my landlord being homophobic and not liking that I have men come over. And then saying...
This is a real tough choice for me because I am anti-homophobia and also anti-weird loud sex.
Right.
In an apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you keep it down? Like, use a muzzle. Make that your thing.
Right. But some landlords are going so far as to say no overnight guests in their lease. And then you don't even read it. You just sign it. And then they come by and they're like, oh, we said no overnight guests. And...
Wow.
Feels like there are certain people who would be discriminated against based on that more than others.
That's really strange.
Isn't it?
Because isn't it the case? Sorry, go ahead.
I feel like so often we have progress and then we have setbacks. It's like there are all these people will try to use whatever law available to be racist or homophobic, and it's so fucked up.
I'm very leery of anything that empowers the powerful. And by definition, a landlord is the powerful party in that arrangement. And so I'm always like, what? Why are we skewing things for them?
Yeah. And I think there are more instances of landlords living on site in England than in the United States, based on what this article was saying. Like, it seemed like a lot of these were situations where the landlord lives in the same building, or it's like a shared, you know.
Well, I'm telling you, if you just took a recording of whatever it is that's going on, then the judge would hear it too. Like, if it's that bad.
I don't think it's that bad. I think people are just being normal and being like...
What's normal? I don't want to hear anybody banging ever.
This is why I knew you'd say that. You'd be like, I don't want to hear a word. I always kind of like it. If I'm at a hotel and I hear the couple in the room next to me, I'm like, yeah, get after it.
That happened to me once, and at the time I was into it, but...
Yeah.
But... That's a one-night thing. I mean...
Right.
If they were in the apartment next to you.
I don't think these people are screaming every night. Like, this is from what the article had multiple people that were talking about how this is a problem with the landlords. I can imagine
I'll take their side. It's fine.
Loud sex crazed maniacs who got together to write an article. You know, I think it's more like the landlords are the problem and they're using this as a way to wrongfully evict people. So
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because that's probably true.
Yeah. So no loud banging in England.
That there's that many people that who are allegedly doing this seems suspicious.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, all right, I'm glad you shared that. I'm glad you took a stand and said, you know what, Suze, we're going overtime today.
We're going overtime. I got to share it with you because
it was totally worth it.
Yes.
What I learned is, well, the Rebecca syndrome, that was a real...
What is what?
Eye-opener. Rebecca syndrome.
Oh, Rebecca syndrome. Yep. We learned about a new word. Yeah. We learned about a Cheweenie.
I mean, for real, Sarah. I don't want to bring it up again, but that really tickles
me. I do think also that would be a cute dog for you guys, too.
A Cheweenie?
Yeah.
It would be. What if they called it a Weenie Wawa or something, though? That's kind of funny, too.
That's funny.
Okay.
That kind of reminds me of Dumb and Dumber when they call it a bullshit. Bulldog and a shih tzu.
That's so funny.
I love it.
Okay, but something you said, I think it was in this episode, reminded me of Dumb and Dumber, but I let it go. But it was like, you know how they're the Shaggin' Wagon, you know, their car is like a dog.
Yes, yes.
Wasn't like their the name of the business like We Got Worms or something?
Yes, I got worms.
I got worms. You said something at some point that was like, that reminds me of I got worms. Anyway.
Our pets' heads are falling off. Gas company? How do they know we have gas?
That movie is
it's so good.
Okay.
Oh, it's thanks, a cardigan, always. But thanks for noticing.
Thank you for using our codes. Check out our website if you forget one, because they're all there. And like every time you go click, click, click on that and buy something... An angel gets its wings.
Yes, an angel gets its wings. Yeah. Susie gets a black glass of vino, which is even better. If you guys have funny stories and or interesting stories or fun facts that you guys are like, oh, I'd love to hear them talk about this, or these Brain Candy gals have to know about the story, then send them to us. You can always send them to the Brain Candy email, and our producers will just filter those right through to us and make sure that we get those. I've gotten a lot of great stories recently from you lovely listeners, so keep them coming. I just love that.
Yeah, or you could DM us on Instagram. I always see those too. Yes. And they know what we like. They know what's up.
Yeah, they really do.
We'll see you next time, everybody.